Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking to people from around New England who've received so-called Genius Awards this year, $625,000 grants from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Among them, Vermont poet Ellen Voigt, who we'll hear from in a moment.
But first, let's hear from 34-year-old Heidi Williams. She's an MIT economist who received a Genius Award for the work she's done on how invisible economic incentives affect the kinds of drugs that the medical industry produces.
For example, imagine if you could take a pill that could eliminate the risk of cancer. It would be a major medical development. But Heidi Williams says such a drug might never be developed because of a patent system that discourages drug makers from pursuing long-term clinical trials.
We have a lot of different ways in society where we produce leads on new types of medical technologies. And many of those ideas just never reach patients. And sometimes you get some stories or anecdotes about why the reason why those products never got developed is because of misaligned incentives in the patent system or misaligned incentives in the policy system more generally. And so what I try to do with my work is basically collect new types of data and try to come up with new empirical methodologies that can try to say, you know, what's explaining why some promising scientific leads never get developed into new drugs or medical technologies that consumers or patients actually have access to.
So explain a real-life case in point. For example, the one we started off describing in the introduction. Why are there incentives for late-stage cancer treatment, for example, but fewer incentives for early-stage cancer or even cancer prevention? What are the economic incentives that control that?
When new drugs come to market in the United States, they need to show the U.S. government evidence that the drugs are safe and effective. And traditionally, what's required for evidence of efficacy is that you show evidence that the drug improves survival. It turns out that when you need to show that a drug improves survival for patients that are very sick, they will die relatively quickly, you can show that in a randomized clinical trial much more quickly than if you need to show evidence that a drug improves the survival of patients that have a longer life expectancy. And so if you think about two groups of cancer patients, patients with metastatic breast cancer who have a relatively shorter life expectancy, and patients with localized breast cancer who have a longer life expectancy, the time that it takes to do a clinical trial to show evidence that a drug improves survival of those two patient groups is very different because of the expected survival time of the patients. That matters both because longer clinical trials just take more time and cost more money, but also because biotech and pharmaceutical companies almost always file for patent protection before they start their clinical trials. Every additional amount of time that they're spending in clinical trials is less time that they have for their patent to actually be generating profits for them once their drug is on the market.
So in other words, you're saying pharmaceutical firms underinvest in drugs that would combat early stage cancers, partly because the clinical trials just take so long.
Yes, that's right. And essentially what we try to do in this work is to do a thought experiment of how much more research would we get if we allowed pharmaceutical firms to conduct shorter trials.
Wow. So does this mean, I mean, is the sort of bottom line here that the market isn't necessarily giving us what we need?
Nothing in our work suggests that private firms are doing anything wrong, but they're responding to a set of incentives in how the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. patent system are set up that fails to provide incentives for these technologies that we estimate would be very socially valuable. Part of what we do in our work is to try to think about how could we redesign public policies to better align incentives facing private firms with the social contributions that we think those inventions would be able to make.
Interesting. So what does your research suggest about how that would work, about ways to correct the problem, to realign those incentives?
There's two very direct ways that you could think about addressing this from a policy perspective. There's a strong case for public subsidies as a way of leveraging private investment in producing new drug development. The second thing is that you could imagine targeting public subsidies through the National Institutes of Health, for example, towards funding the kinds of clinical trials that are unlikely to be funded by private firms because of this distortion that we identify.
Heidi Williams, as we mentioned, you're just 34. This is still early in your career. What does this vote of confidence from the MacArthur Foundation mean to you?
I'm just I'm very humbled by their willingness to make this investment in me and to help me try to continue to do the work that I want to do. A lot of my research is just very data intensive and involves taking risks, many of which never work out. And so, you know, for every paper that I have that we successfully learn something from, there are many papers that I spent a lot of time trying to write that just I wasn't able to find the right way of analyzing the data to be able to shed light on the question that I was interested in. And I really feel like this vote of confidence from the foundation is really giving me some freedom to say, like, I can continue to take on these high-risk projects, even if, you know, they're taking a long time and don't always work out, because it seems like they are hopefully producing something that is socially valuable, and I'm really excited to continue to do that work.
All right. Well, that's Heidi Williams. She's a professor of economics at MIT and a winner of a 2015 Genius Award from the MacArthur Foundation. Heidi Williams, thank you for speaking with us. And again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.